Grace Gospel Network presents Recovery of the Gospel.
Are you ready to be set free? Recovery of the Gospel.
With Pastor Kent Clark.
Now here in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, a wonderful story. I love the stories of the Old Testament, of how God delivers His people and encourages His people. We are the people of God, and God still delivers in the same way that He delivered in Old Testament times. So let's begin in chapter 32, beginning with verse 1. After these things, and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. Now, you got the picture, maybe a little muddy with King James Version, but Sennacherib, king of Assyria, comes down and literally desires to overtake the people of God under King Hezekiah. Verse 2. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come, and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which are without the city, and they did help him. So there was gathered much people together who stopped all the fountains and the brooks that ran through the midst of the land, saying, why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water? So, first of all, Sennacherib's going to have a water problem. Also, he strengthened himself and built up all the wall that was broken and raised it up to the towers, another wall without, and repaired Millo in the city of David and made darts and shields in abundance. Somebody has told me many times in 50 years, if I believed what you believe, I'd just sit down and wait for God to do it all. Now, don't think so. Our God is a God of means. And one of the greatest things that we can praise God about when you think about it is that God would use you or me. Who am I? That's what we talked about last week. Who am I that God has blessed me and I give back to Him that He gave to me? That's all I do when I give back. And he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city and spake comfortably to them. He spake comfortably to them, saying, be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Syria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. With him is the arm of the flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, the king of Judah. Resting words and being comforted. That's what I want to talk to you about. Verse 9, after this did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, send his servants to Jerusalem, but he himself laid siege against Lachish, and all the power with him, and Hezekiah king of Judah, and unto all of Judah that were at Jerusalem, saying, thus saith Sennacherib, king of Assyria, whereon do you trust that you abide in the siege in Jerusalem? I don't suppose the devil ever comes and asks you any questions like that. Look at this mess. You're about to be defeated. Wherein do you trust? Verse 11, doth not Hezekiah persuade you to give over yourselves to die by famine and by thirst, saying, the Lord God shall deliver us out of the hand of the king of Assyria? King Hezekiah said, God's going to save us. And Sennacherib mocked. Is this what King Hezekiah is saying to you? That you have a God who's going to deliver you from my army? You're going to starve to death. That's what's going to happen to you. Look at verse 12. Hath not the same Hezekiah taken away his high places and his altars and commanded Judah and Jerusalem, saying, ye shall worship before one altar and burn incense upon them? Hasn't King Hezekiah taken away all your false gods? You think Hezekiah is your friend? You see, Sennacherib thinks that somebody out there still longs for their false gods that Hezekiah has destroyed. And that Sennacherib, by saying these things, is going to get some folks on his side and give Hezekiah some problems. It'd be like somebody saying, hasn't Clark taken away from you some of your idols? Verse 13, know ye not what I and my fathers have done unto all the people of other lands? We've won every victory. We've destroyed nations. Were the gods of the nations of those lands anyways able to deliver their lands out of my hand? You see, this is the way the devil talks. You're going down. You can trust your God all you want to, but you are going down. That's what the enemy says. Look at your brothers and sisters and those around you. They haven't won the war. Crack has taken them down. Were the gods of the nations of those lands anyways able to deliver their lands out of my hand? Who was there among all the gods of those nations that my fathers utterly destroyed that could deliver his people out of my hand, that your God should be able to deliver you out of my hand? Now, therefore, let not Hezekiah deceive you, nor persuade you on this manner, neither yet believe him. For no God of any nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people out of my hand and out of the hand of my fathers. How much less shall your God deliver you out of my hand? Poor Sennacherib. He's about to learn a great lesson. And if you read on, you'll find out he died. Was killed by his own crowd. You see, we say here at Grace Gospel Fellowship, there is no God like our God. We have seen His mighty works. I think of Pharaoh, who said to Moses, I don't know your God, and I will not let this people go. But he did. But he did. You see, there's none greater than our God. He is the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You know, for years, I lived in a situation where, in going to church, I mean, as a child growing up, where religiously I was abused. I was. For years, I was abused. And that abuse, spiritual abuse, caused many problems in my life. And I think many defeats. God would not have His ministers abuse His people. When our God prepares a nation for a change, He sends a man with the change. I know God has sent me here to Pontiac. I know that. As many warts as I have, and the sin that's in my life, I still know one thing. God sent me. I know that. God's preachers have to be God sent. Not mama sent. But God sent. I've heard mothers say, oh, I just want my boy to be a preacher. Well, he might be, but he'll be a panty waist preacher. Unless he's called by God. Sent by God. A man with an earthen girdle and eating locusts and wild honey like John the Baptist. A wild man. Oh, I so fit. Hezekiah had a zeal for God. I flunked the test so often in my own life, giving myself the test. But one thing I know, I have a zeal for the worship of Jehovah. I have a zeal. More than anything else, I want to eat and drink to the glory of God. I want this church to say, to God be the glory. When you're delivered from whatever your addiction is, I want you to say, to God be the glory. Great things He has done. And I'm going out a little bit on a limb, lest some think I'm self-righteous. But when you pray for me and you make sure you thank God for me as your pastor, Because I'm nothing without God, you see. I'm just a hammer. I'm a nobody. Ken Clark isn't doing what's going on around here. Or the elders of this church. It's not our mental capacity. It's not the works of our hands. This place is a miracle place of God Almighty. And I say to you, as I often do, without God, this place goes down in 24 hours or less. Very, very true. For the worship of Jehovah. And Hezekiah led the nation in a glorious reformation. Oh, it looks like we're going down. You know, we're living in a country that has approved killing babies and sodomy. That's two things about America now. We believe in the right to sodomize, and we believe in the right to kill babies. That is the United States of America. There's something bad wrong with that. If you think that God is with this nation, you must be blind as a bat. Amen. That's true. I know that's true. So, we need reformation. We really do. We need a revival. We need an awakening. We need the church to stand up and step up. It is God's way of reformation to send a preacher. Isn't that crazy? God sends a preacher. I mean, you know, I think if I was God, I'd have done it some other way. I mean, if I was God, I think I would take the elite of the world, the fine speakers, the educated. But think about it. God comes over here to a rescue mission. Bunch of drunks and prostitutes and self-righteous church people come in and out of this place. And God does mighty things. Isn't that something? Hezekiah was a man who was attractive to people. The people did not object when he broke down the idols and cleansed the temple. It was a wonderful thing when God sends a man who can guide others aright, especially in times of apostasy and spiritual decline. God gave a leader who becomes a guide back into the old path, a voice in the wilderness calling us back. And he did it, Hezekiah did it, with a tone of triumph. With a tone of triumph. I know many Americans have given up. Many Christians have given up, especially after the Supreme Court's last verdict. I just want to say to you, as I said Wednesday night, the Supreme Court spoke a long time ago when there was not men and women in black robes. Oh, there you're catching on, aren't you? And the Supreme Court's ruling has not changed. Men are to marry women, and women are to marry men, and God said so, and that hasn't changed. Somebody said to me this past week, what are you going to do when two homosexuals come in and demand that you marry them? I'm going to jail. But Hezekiah talked with a... I don't want to chase that rabbit right now, so I'm going to get... Hezekiah talked with a tone of triumph. He did. We've read it. His whole tone is not, things are too bad, so let's all just give up. I'm not a give up guy, because I've got a God who can do whatever He wants to do, whenever He wants to do it. So Hezekiah encouraged his men of war by exciting their faith in God. What I want to do is excite your faith in God. Our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Tuesday night, I'm going to speak to the Tea Party. I'm going in there with words of victory. This battle is not over. Our God is able. Be strong and courageous. That's what Hezekiah said. Be strong and courageous. Don't take a back seat. Don't hold the fort. Take the fort. Be strong and courageous, he said to them. Sennacherib was only an arm of the flesh. Hezekiah said, They're nothing more than an arm of the flesh. And it was a powerful arm of the flesh. Yet their power was that of the omnipotent God. And Hezekiah said things like this, "Don't you know there are more that be with us than be with them? So don't you know that the people looked out, seeing Sennacherib's great army?" And they said something like this. Let's see. "He said that there was more with us than be with them." If we're counting noses, that isn't true. But we're not counting noses. We're counting on God. Amen. Jehovah God. The omnipotent God. The people believe God's man. They believe God's man's testimony. So there was no mutiny. There was no fault finding with leaders and breaking up into cliques. That's so often true in the church. They followed God's preacher. You know, people call us chicken eaters and a thousand other things. And I'll tell you, a lot of chicken has entered the ministry here. I do love Kentucky Fried Chicken and so forth. You can call us what you want, but we're God's servant. There has to be power and authority in the pulpit. And the people of God have to see the preacher as God's man with a voice in this wilderness speaking to you. And I want to say to you without apology, God sent me here today to tell you, thus saith the Lord. That's what God's man does. He sends God's man with a message. See, that's why some of you think sometimes that I've been reading your mail. But I have no idea what you've been doing this week. But God sent a message. Listen, if the shoe fits, wear it. God's talking to you. Don't start trying to, "Who told the preacher?" "I know somebody told him." We had a good service Wednesday night. I didn't know a whole lot of things, but boy, I must have been pushing some buttons Wednesday night. You never know what you're going to miss here on Wednesday night. The Bible says, as Hezekiah spoke, the people rested themselves. You shouldn't leave here sweating unless you're without Christ. You should leave here rested. "Oh, I came up to the house of God anxious. And I came up to the house of God nervous. And I came up to the house of God feeling I was a failure. And I came up to the house of God feeling like I wasn't going to make it. But oh, I found rest today in the house of God." The people rested themselves. Now, I want to tell you this. Above and beyond anything else, the pastor's duty is to comfort God's little children. And I'm going to say this to you. Your life has failed. Your marriage has failed. Your children have failed. The economy has failed. You don't have a penny to your name. You come up to the house of God, you shouldn't be beaten. And then on top of that, you have failed. You got drunk this week. Or you used this week. Or you lusted this week. I could beat you up about that, but I'd be beating myself up too. But anyway, the point being this, when you come up to the house of God as a child of God, you shouldn't leave here bleeding and bloody and guilty. You ought to leave here resting in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You see, the battle of life rages, doesn't it? Is life a battle? Dying's easy. Life is tough. Isn't that right? Every day it's a battle. And it rages. And God's children are beset on every side. On every side. Say, what do you mean by that, preacher? I mean this. Not only do you have problems out there, you have problems in here. You yourself are a big problem for yourself. Are we not? Isn't that our testimony? If I just had to deal with the world, I'd be all right. But I have to deal with Kent. Amen. And Kent in the flesh is self-centered. Kent in the flesh, in my flesh dwells no good thing. So every day, I have to deal with this guy. That's a battle. And we're often caused to weep by our frailties and our failures. But you know what? Our Father has sent the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And do you know what He's called? The Comforter. Jesus said, now I'm going away. I'm not going to be here in person. But I'm not going to leave you like little alley rats. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to be here with you. Now, wait a minute. I'm going away, but I'm going to be here. Can you explain that, Jesus? Yes. I'm going to send the Comforter. And He's everywhere at once. So if you're in Michigan hurting, He's here. If you're in Africa hurting, He's there. The Comforter has come. The Holy Spirit of God who comforts us. He's not left us as orphans. In fact, the Scripture is constantly saying things like this. Comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord your God. Comfort. What a sweet thing it is. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, the Son of Sin, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. You ever feel like you're not so saved? You ever feel like, maybe I'm not the Lord's? The Comforter has come. And you know what the Comforter does? He takes you back to Calvary. And at Calvary, you hear this word, Jesus paid it all. You are sin free. You are debt free. You are free from condemnation. You will never come into judgment. I know what the devil does. He's the Sennacherib who says, you know what you did. You know what you did. He's the one that causes fear. Where you are afraid. I love these passages. Psalm 127 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keeps the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late and to eat the bread of sorrows. That's all vain. You shouldn't be staying up all night. You shouldn't be worrying yourself sick. Oh, Lord, I'm preaching to myself. You shouldn't be fretting. Yeah. It's all vain. You can stay up all night if you want to, but it's not going to change one thing. Just stay up and worry and worry and worry and worry and worry. And you can pop pills to try to get rid of the worry, but after the pill's gone, after the alcohol's gone, after the crack's gone, after the heroin's gone, after it's all gone, you're still worried. It's all vain. But when God comes, and that still small voice says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I have loved you with an everlasting love, and in tender kindness have I drawn you to myself. And I give unto you eternal life, and you'll never perish. Neither shall any man be able to pluck you out of my hand. My Father which gave you to me is greater than all. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Whew. And didn't He say this? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Is life a labor for you? He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will rest you. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in spirit. He spoke comfortable words, and the people rested themselves. They rested themselves. Yes, Pastor. Yes, preacher. Yes, Lord Jesus. Thank God.
You've been listening to the Recovery of the Gospel with Pastor Kent Clark.
You can hear the rest of this message and many more on sermonaudio.com. You can also like us on Facebook. Thank you for listening. These are the men of grace.
and you're not alone. Hear the message that he's sending. Someone who loves. Like the ceiling, run away and had to hide from the tears that you were feeling. Did you ever need a friend in your coldest, darkest hour? Don't give up, there's love for you. Just reach out and feel the power. Someone who loves. It doesn't matter what you've said or where your path has led. It's never quite too late to pray and change your fate. Oh, when you call,
oh, when you call,
when you call,
when you call,
he will be there. Someone who loves.
Someone just for you.